Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. I've got a lovely episode lined up for you today. We have guest Dusty Elliott on the line. He is a moderator for the Autoflower Growers Club Facebook group, and he's just a really fun guy to talk to. And we get into autoflowers and organic growing and increasing yield and genetics, whole bunch of cool stuff. It's just a really fun and entertaining episode headed your way. I know you're going to love it. Before we jump in, though, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Humble Garden Lenses, everybody. Humble Garden HPS smartphone filters. Listeners to this show get 15% off just by using promo code GROWCAST. And members to mygrowpass.com get 25% off all Humble Garden lenses. Just go to humblegarden.co, everybody. If you grow under HPS bulbs, you know that taking photos of your garden can be very tricky. You get that yellow picture that no one can really see what they're looking at. Well, Humble Garden took the same technology in light-correcting glasses and applied it to a smartphone camera lens. You just clip on their little lens and you are easily taking pictures, beautiful, balanced, crisp photos of your grow that showcases your garden the way it's meant to be seen in real color. So go to humblegarden.co, promo code GROWCAST is 15% off, and mygrowpass.com when you're ready to save 25%. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, best of luck in your garden this hump day and beyond. Loving the program, loving the podcast, loving you listeners. Thanks for all you do. Without further ado, thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Please tell a friend about this show. We love when people spread Growcast. And also tune in to the Homegrown Helpers, Rob Smith's growing podcast, and my new show, the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. Go give that a rating and review, would you please? I appreciate that. We have a great episode today. I'm loving these Facebook group moderator episodes. I'm really excited to speak with a moderator from the Autoflowers Growers Club group on Facebook. Dusty is on the line. How are you doing today, Dusty?
Doing great. How about yourself, Jordan?
Doing excellent, man. Thank you for taking the time to do this today. Excited to talk to you. I'm always interested in autoflowers, especially because I never really got too deep into them myself. So I like to see it kind of blow up. Why don't we start there? Have you noticed a explosion of autoflower growers? I'd imagine you saw that in the numbers with your growers group, right?
Oh, yes. The number of autoflower growers is astounding, considering the semi-newishness of them and all the controversy that was brought up about them not being real cannabis and all of this because of the crossbreeding.
Right.
But, you know, people are really loving the fact that they can pull four harvests a year and have a lot more variety than just pulling one to two if they grow indoors a year and just having bulk one flavor.
Yeah, totally the monocrop. I think that that's probably a huge part of it. Why don't you tell me, why do you think people like growing them so much? I've realized that people really struggle with the photo periods and just the fact that you don't need to flip them seems to be a big enticer.
Well, we started out at Otto's. I'm just now growing my first photos. We've been growing probably a little less than 2 years.
Nice.
I got started. I won 3 free seeds in a giveaway, and I haven't looked back.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. That's actually really cool because we like doing giveaways and stuff. So that's cool to hear. So that's what sparked it off was a package of free seeds.
And they're really pretty easy to grow. I mean, I've got this little micro brew system that I got off of a guy on Facebook. He makes a dry noops. Okay. And it's all 100% natural, organic. I brew a tea for him once a week, start feeding them once a week at age 7. And the rest of the time I just give them water and I don't have to worry about light. As long as they've got the good temperature, good airflow. And, you know, evidently the humidity and stuff is supposed to be right, but I don't know. I don't have all them meters and stuff to test all of it.
That's what I love about you, Dusty.
I just have lights and a fan. That's it. I'm growing in an open floor, you know, and you just don't really have to worry about them too much. They don't really live long enough to have a whole lot of issues.
That's a good point. Yeah. We've talked about that as well. That's just less time that you have room for problems. But Dusty, you're pretty passionate about a budget and low involvement grow, right? That's kind of your thing, is it not?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of money to spend.
Right. Right. And you're also just like, you seem to really keep it simple. And that's why autoflowers probably fit so well within your system.
Well, I mean, with an autoflower, you can stick it in a closet. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, and the deal is, you know, one of the mottos for autos is less is more.
Right.
You might get a little less, but you can grow more, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And most people can average anywhere from 3 to 5 ounces per plant mm-hmm. on an auto. Okay. But we've got some people pulling 0.5 pound and up to 1 pound regularly off of autos.
Right. Which was probably, less common back in the day.
Yeah. And now a lot of breeders, they put the 65 to 75 day
window. Yeah.
You know, from start to finish on them. That's just a guesstimate. 100% optimum. You have the actual breeder's room. You know what I mean?
Right.
Type estimate as far as time. If you put them on a different light schedule, that can take them a little bit longer. Everybody says you can't LST, you can't top, you can't do this. If you do, you can do all of that. The only thing you don't want to do to an auto is clone it.
Right.
The only reason you don't want to clone it is because you won't get but a joint.
Right, because it never goes back. It just continues no matter what, right?
Exactly. I mean, it grows too fast for a clone to really give you anything.
Wow.
You know, you can't really throw it back into revest.
Yeah, it just goes even if its form of life is a tiny little branch. That's so interesting, man. That's a really good myth you just dispelled, though, and I see that a lot. I'd imagine that the myth of you shouldn't top autos comes from the fact that they are, in fact, limited, and if you top too late, you're going to probably shoot yourself in the foot a little bit because you're already entering that flowering phase. But what you're saying is get on it early enough and do it. It'll have great results.
Yeah, you hit that third or fourth note and top that thing, and you're good to go.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. And I see a lot of low stress training in autoflower groups, probably because they don't want to do as much topping for obvious reasons, because there's a countdown going. Do you do low stress training? Do you find it to be effective, or do you just top your plants and then support them?
Well, on my autos, I haven't done any of that yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, I'm still new. So I've been trying to make sure that I can actually grow from sprout to harvest first. We focus on quality. We want it to grow. We want it to grow very good quality. We don't push for quantity so much because, I mean, you can have 3 ounces of shitty flour or you can have 1 ounce of good flour, and that 1 ounce will last you just as long as the 3 ounces.
Right, and be more enjoyable.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
We're not out to make money, so we're not pushing for huge yields. We're not trying to force everlast bit of weight out of them. We're trying to get every last bit of quality out of it.
Nice. That's really cool, man. I love it. And I love the idea of getting more plants into more people's houses. And I think Autoflowers plays a big role in that. So everybody go and check out the Facebook group right now, Autoflowers Growers Club on Facebook. Let's talk about some of the big stuff that comes up in the group, Dusty. I know you got a couple of questions here. Why don't you give me the first one? What are a lot of people asking about in your group?
Well, one of them is, how can you find proper genetics, a good breeder, or a good seed bank?
Yeah, oh, definitely a huge one. And this is something I even see in the photo world a lot, too, because I think it's tough. You know, every plant is different. And even us clone growers, you're going to get some hermying occasionally. And it must be frustrating from a seed grower to buy a pack and then have it herm and be like, what the hell? And then blame the breeder or the brand. Whether or not that's fair, that's really fascinating. Now, when it comes to autoflowers, though, Dusty, what do you see a lot of people buying? I know that I see Mephisto Genetics with their autoflowers blowing up a lot. What do you see people buying? What do you personally like? What can you say about autoflower breeders?
Well, as far as actual breeders, I don't really know too many. There's a lot of them out there that claim to be breeders that are just taking somebody like Puff Puff Pass or Southwest Bakery, same thing, and crossing it with Synergy Automatic Genetics just for grins, and they're a breeder, okay, and it's their first round. Or they'll take something from Mephisto and cross it with Top Shelf.
Right.
And all they're doing is they're basically taking nothing but a giant salad and trying to cross it with a giant salad and throwing it out there for people.
Just destabilizing two already normal strains.
Yeah. I mean, you're throwing a vegetable salad into a fruit salad. What do you expect?
Right. But
Puff Pass, we actually rep for Puff Pass because we tried several different breeders out there when we first started. We won the three free seeds, and then we bought from like five different places, and PPP was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a test run of genetics, and we ran 12 out of 12 of PPP in 1 gallon cloth pots. We underwatered them, we overwatered them, we starved them, we over neutered them. I mean, everything you're not supposed to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we still got every one of them all the way to harvest and averaged no less than an ounce.
Wow.
Okay.
That's stable.
Yeah. And they didn't hermy.
Wow.
So all that talk about stress causing a hermy, I hate to say it, but that's a bunch of BS.
Mm.
Okay. I mean, I guess it could. But we've got people out there topping autos, okay? LST in them, HST in them, femming them, stripping them, and they're not herming. So it's not a stress issue.
Mm.
I think it's just too much mixing going on. And you hear a whole lot of people talking about hermies, but if you stop and count the number of actual seeds that are out there, compared to the number of people claiming hermy, there's really not that many.
Interesting.
Okay. I mean, you've got 10,000 seeds, you might have 10 people complain of hermy. Maybe.
Right.
You got to look at the big picture.
Exactly. And that's, as a clone grower, like I would get seeds occasionally in my big ass room just because there's so many plants. It just happens sometimes, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I can understand, though, if you are one of those people and then you do have that happen and you get up and make noise on Facebook, it probably makes it look like a bigger deal than it is. But I'll tell you, Dusty, having spoken to so many breeders on this show, the stabilization matters, man. The breeding it out for generation after generation and making sure that you're selecting the ones that are stable. Some breeders really focus on that and others don't so much. I guess so much to the point that there's lots of warnings on packages that'll say, you know, may show intersex traits. And apparently that's just instability, which is essentially not really poor breeding, but not thorough breeding. Let's put it that way. Like you're saying, just putting together your first little pheno there or whatever it's called and then pitching it out.
Yeah. As my mama told me, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing.
I like that. That's just my understanding, you know, talking to these breeders.
Yeah. The way I look at it from what I've studied, because I'm actually interested in starting to breed. Okay. If you don't spend at least 2 years on an auto, you're not done.
Mm.
Okay.
Reaching all the desirable traits. You mean stabilizing it?
Yes, you've got to pheno hunt, okay? You got to start with your photo and pheno hunt. Then you got to start your breeding. Then you got to start your back breeding. Then you got to introduce your auto.
Ah.
Then you got to start your back breeding again.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a minimum 2 years because you're talking 10 different grows at least.
Wow. See, I was speaking strictly on photo. That's interesting that integrating that one trait from the Ruderalis subspecies is just another piece of the puzzle. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you're basically starting all over whenever you start introducing the photogene or the autogene.
Right. Interesting stuff, man. Really excited to see what you got going on when you start breeding. Keep us up to date on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that's going to be yet. I'm still playing with the grow part first, and I'm still dialing in my room and stuff. We're actually doing pretty good. I'm liking how it's going. I'm wondering how winter's going to hit me, though, with the dry climate up here. That's going to be interesting. There's humidity right now. We're fighting it, but it's not too bad. I still don't have a dehumidifier. I don't even know what the humidity is. I just go by feels.
Go get yourself a hygrometer, man. You'll feel like a lab technician. I'm telling you, you'll love it. I wanted to make sure to cover, though, as far as selecting the proper genetics, make sure to check out the other episodes of my show where I talk to different breeders and see who you connect with. And these are usually photo breeders, by the way. Although I did speak with, who was that? Northern Frost Genetics, I believe. And they're big into autos, I want to say. I hope I'm not confusing my episodes. But I would say look for people who have grown the strain. You know, social media is your friend. You can see hashtag whatever the breeder is and check it out. And then I would also say, see if you can hear them on my podcast or anyone's podcast and see what their philosophies are, man. Because they all have different philosophies, these breeders. Like, they're after different things, whether it's medicinal stuff, you know, or more like heavy-hitting indicas, or for more, you know, sensual, spiritual stuff. Like, these breeders all have their different opinions. So I'd say get to know the breeders. That's my advice to the people out there.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask.
Totally. They love talking to their growers. That's true, man. You're right about that, Dusty.
You know, don't be afraid to ask. Hey, has anybody heard of Jody Job over at PPP? Has anybody heard of Mark Zobel? Has anybody heard of such and such? Are they for real? You know, if they are, somebody's going to have heard of them by now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would say Instagram is your friend at this point when it comes to breeders.
Exactly. You know, you've got Instagram and you've got Facebook. There's no reason from buying somebody that you haven't tried to vet at least a little bit.
Good point.
It's not blind buying anymore.
That's a good point, man. Wise words, Dusty. Wise words. All right. Hopefully that gives some good guidance to the people out there. What else have you heard in the Facebook group? What's your second question for me?
Well, another one is nutrients. You're going to have to help me on that one because I just use dry nuts in a micro brew.
That's really cool, man. There's so many ways to do it, though. It's tough.
You know, I don't use an SPG. I don't use anything synthetic. I don't have to flush my plants. I don't have to do any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time to cut it. I just make sure the soil's dry and I take a pair of cutters to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's what's up.
So,
and those organic grows are what's up. And if you're going the autoflower route, man, I'm going to do a little overview. My listeners know this already, but I'll do a quick overview for people who may just be tuning in. I'm a huge fan of organic growing and specifically super soil growing because of the simplicity. We cover all different grow styles on GrowCast. Inclusiveness is one of our like real core values here. But if you're doing the autoflower grow and you're listening now and you're after the simplicity, man, just going the organic super soil route so you can just water with normal water is so freaking convenient. Just make sure you do your research and have a big enough pot to where your plant will have enough food. And also look into adding beneficial microbes. Just Google those things and listen to more GrowCast if you don't know what that is. But basically, that's really what I suggest now, Dusty, is the super soil is so easy. And there are even ones you can just buy now. Like Sohum Soils is one that we've partnered with. Or Michigan Mix is huge. Kiss Organics by a guy named Tad Hussey. He's really cool. Point is, super soil grow, that's the most convenient. I suggest not buying bottled nutrients. Then again, everyone's in their own, you know, doing their own thing. If you want to do bottled nutrients, there's so many to choose from, man. I will say this, use less than what the bottle says, especially the big brands. I don't want to name any names, but the most popular brands that you'll find everywhere, they want you to use a lot. And you're gonna lock out your soil and you're gonna have, you know, mineral buildup and all this stuff going on in there.
And just have to buy more stuff from them to clear up the issue.
That's exactly right. So use half strength, you know, maybe two-thirds strength, 75% strength max. Play around with it. See how you feel.
Sorry to interrupt on that, Jordan. But for autos, you might want to start at quarter strength and see how they take it and build up from there.
Nice.
Because you don't want to overfeed an auto and burn it because you don't really have time to flush it and save it.
That's a really good point. I'd imagine that any detriment you do to an auto would be pretty damaging to the end result. But then again, the next one's right around the corner. So it kind of solves itself too.
Exactly.
Super interesting. As far as brands that we stand behind of synthetic nutrients, even though I really don't suggest people do use them unless they really want to or have to, Sweet Leaf Nutrients is a really great brand. They're all about feeding less. Less is more. I'd imagine they'd do great with autos. Heavy 16 by a guy named Bryce Patterson. That is a great brand. They're really great. So you can look into them. Cutting Edge, I think, is a little bit cheaper. Those are just some names to get you started on which ones we stand behind. And then finally, I would say listen to more GrowCast and listen to my partner, Wolfman. He talks about all of these different products on all of our different episodes. He is a product specialist. He's been working in hydro shop retail for like, I don't know, 15 years or something. So yeah, do some more research, listen to some Wolfman on this show, and definitely feed less, especially if you're going with the big name guys. Hopefully that is helpful. Yeah, so good call on the lower feeding though, Dusty. Do autofillers just feed less, or are you just trying to make sure you don't burn them, or both?
It's a little bit of both. For one, they're not quite as big as a photo, so they're not pushing to grow that much. For two, you're only in veg about 4 weeks.
Oh, right.
So you don't want to get all of that buildup in your soil.
Yeah, your nitrogen. That's a good point. Quick nitrogen, and then it needs less and less for the rest of the cycle, and then you got to kill it. That's super interesting.
Exactly, because if not, your plants won't want to finish properly. Okay. We've had some that I made the soil too hot and they never would finish. They just wanted to keep trying to re-veg and foxtail, and then they started throwing nanners, so I just chopped them.
Whoa.
So
excess nitrogen, would you say?
Yeah, my soil was way hot.
Right.
It was the first time I'd ever mixed soil, so but they was real pretty during veg.
Okay, before we jump back in with Dusty, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Greencraft Distribution, everybody. Just go to greencraftdistribution.com. It's your online hydro superstore. They got all sorts of grow gear, and you can get 10% off by using promo code GROWCAST just for listening to this show, and get 25% off the entire hydroponic superstore website at mygrowpass.com. Greencraftdistribution.com, everybody. Greencraft Distribution is a New England-based online hydro store representing several hydroponic brands as well as CBD products. Go to greencraftdistribution.com and see their full line of products from brands like Kushly, Canatai, Stash Logics, and more. You can see all of their nutrient lines they have available and odor control and fans. It's an online hydro superstore, guys. You don't got to leave the house. You can just go to greencraftdistribution.com and save money with promo code GROWCAST. Go check it out, everybody. GreencraftDistribution.com, your online hydro superstore. All right, everyone, back to the show. Let's go with the last question here. I know it's a popular one. Why don't you hit me with it?
How can I increase the yield of my autos?
Man, we did a great episode for a different Facebook group, again, on this show about increasing yield, just going over all the ways you can increase your yield. Again, Dusty, that idea of I don't want to top my autos, don't top your autos. Can you maybe touch on that a little bit more? Like, is that a total myth? Or let me put it this way. What's the latest that you would consider topping your autos?
I probably wouldn't push. I wouldn't push it past week three, because by the time week three hits, you're already way gone. I mean, in all honesty, I would probably do it just as soon as I seen that fourth node pop.
Right. That's what you said earlier. I was just going to reference back to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3 weeks. Wow.
Yeah. Don't even really wait for that fourth node to grow. Just as soon as you see it pop, get off in there and pinch it off. Because you've only got a couple of more weeks of veg after that for you to get your stretch on and you to get your extra colas. Now, I can say that the ones that I have seen topped, I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures and they seem to form some really huge colas. Okay. And look really nice. The ones that are LST'd, they seem to do really good. I've seen them HST'd. I've seen them filmed. I've seen them broken and taped back together.
So they are more resilient than people say.
Well, then again, it goes back to question number one. How do you select a proper breeder and proper genetics? You know,
yeah, that's true.
It kind of depends on your genetics, too. You know, some genetics, I've had some that I literally had to move out of my grow room and put in a window because they were sensitive to light.
Right. Wow.
Okay. So, I mean, you got to kind of know your plants. But there's a bunch of guys running around on Facebook and Instagram right now that are just abusing their plants just to see what all they can get away with. Okay.
How do you feel about that? Is that good in the name of science, or does it freak you out?
I think it's fun to watch them. I mean, they're actually going around calling themselves team abuse. You know, and they've got some really killer plants. I've seen some really killer microgrows that have been abused too. I mean, we're talking micro pill bottle types. that have been abused. They're growing idos in anywhere from a pill bottle all the way up to 20-gallon pots.
Wow.
I've seen them get anywhere from an inch tall and have a flower to be over 10 foot tall. And we're talking an auto.
That's so crazy, man. I can't help but think that auto flowers have something to do with the future of cannabis.
I got a funny feeling they're going to take over because we live in an impatient society.
And I nailed it.
I'm thinking that's part of why autos is so popular, because people don't have the patience to wait 6 months to finish a plant, and then they got to trim it for a week, and then they got to wait another month and a half to smoke it.
Impatient society. Holy cow. I love it.
You know, we want what we want, and we want it now. And I can have it 4 times instead of 2.
You nailed it.
We're a sports society, you know, and that's just what it nails down to. And autos are just easy. You can go buy a lot at Walmart, stick it in a closet, and you can grow it.
Yeah, totally.
You might not get a whole lot, but you know what? You don't have to go buy it off the dispensary, and you don't have to get it illegally from the corner.
True. Yeah, and you don't have to worry about light tight or sealing this or bull crap like that. You can probably get a low odor strain and just grow it in your closet without anyone knowing.
Is there such?
There is such, yes. There are some low odor strains out there.
You should smell my house. I don't have no filters or anything. It smells good when you walk up in my house.
I would love to, man. That would be a pleasure. Yeah, no. What did I just see? What was a really cool strain? This just popped in my head, so I'll say it. There's a strain called Auto Duck. I was looking up the best strains to grow covertly. I don't even know why I was looking it up. I'm not looking to grow anything covertly, but something had brought me, whatever. Point is, it's called Auto Duck, and it's one of the best ones because of not only its low odor, but its duck foot leaves. It doesn't have the traditional cannabis leaves.
Yeah,
like, even if you walk up on this thing, it doesn't even really look that much like cannabis.
It's bred out of Australia.
Ah, so you're familiar with the Auto Duck.
I'm familiar with duck foot, yes.
Yes. So I believe that that was one of the low odor strains. I could be wrong, but I do remember it came up on my Gorilla Grow search because of its three leaf. It didn't. Yeah, it was very inconspicuous.
I haven't seen that one, but I love the smells. I love the scent.
Let's talk about that, man. I do want to touch back on yield before we wrap it up, but what are you most passionate about your grow? Are you going after, you said quality, but are you more after flavor and aroma, or potency, or type of experience, or medicinal side, or what?
It's a tight between effect and medicinal. Okay. Mm-hmm. We kind of have our medical plants and our recreational plants.
Nice.
Our recreational plants, we focus more on the high. You know what I mean? The high THC content, the effect that we can get from it. On the medical, we don't necessarily look for the high percentages, because not all of your medical strains are going to be your high percentages. Like a lot of your perps, a perp is a really good medicinal strain, okay? But a lot of your perps are not real high THC content.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're really great medicinally.
I love it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and then again, we go back to question number one, select your genetics.
Yeah, select your genetics and then hold on to them when you got good ones, right?
Yes.
How does that work with autos? I mean, what, do you order more seeds?
Well, you can, but eventually those run out. So there again, you know your breeder.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And you know the breeder puts out continuously the same types of genetics. So you follow that breeder and stick with that breeder.
That is fascinating. Yeah. You don't have the luxury of keeping a mother plant, for instance, indefinitely.
Yeah. Well, with an auto, you can't keep a mother plant.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And with autos, you can get the same effects, both high and medicinally, and have multiple flavors growing at the same time that can actually taste different. Hmm. But yet give you the same medicinal effects.
Yeah, man. I'm all about that.
So you don't get burnt out on one flavor.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Variety is key. I'm definitely a fiend when it comes for variety. I'm going auto flowers next run that I do. It's official. But let's swing it back around here. I want to ask you a question while answering this one. When we were talking about increasing yield on one of my other episodes, the one with the other Facebook group. In fact, it was with Bill Zellner, Closet Ninja. So on that episode, I was talking about the importance of supporting your plants, specifically before they begin to sag or, God forbid, snap. Because even before, if you're already seeing your branch sag because your flower's gotten too big, it's already using energy. And there really is a limited amount of energy before you cut that plant. I'd imagine even more so with the autoflowers. So my question to you is, do you see the buds get big enough that they need to be supported before the autoflowers have to get chopped? Do you support your plants? Do you see other people supporting their autos? What do you think about support?
We never really had to worry about support until we just moved up here. And yes, supporting autos is a real thing.
Well, if you're doing a good job, I'd imagine so. Because I know you cut them earlier, but you're saying, yes, you have to support them.
Yes, some genetics you absolutely have to. I got up one morning and found one of my plants got so heavy it was leaned up against the wall overnight.
Right.
It was standing up nice and, you know, so I had to put a stake in it. And from now on, I'm going to add support and have it in place before I start growing, because I have seen in this run out of, 12 plants, 10 of them have needed support.
Nice. Well, that means you're doing something right. And I support that change in your growing strategy, because it's true. When your plant begins to struggle, it does redirect a limited amount of growth energy. And instead of using that energy to increase, you know, the bud site's yield and growth and the terpene production and the cannabinoid production and all this stuff, it's doing other things, namely trying to strengthen that failing branch, you know, trying to strengthen the cell wall, whatever it is. You really want to let it focus on the desirable end results. So staking, of course, co-producer Rob Smith has the Atlas Plant Trainer. If you have a small enough grow, it's the best way to support your plant. Trellising is a really great way to do it. You know, a lot of people are doing like Sia Green. I'd imagine with an auto, you're just going to cut it down. So staking would probably be the quickest, easiest solution, other than the Atlas Plant Trainer, which is the best choice.
Either staking or yo-yos. If you're in a tent or something like that, you can hook yo-yos. I'm in an open floor, so I'd have to screw them to the ceiling or my light. So I use bamboo and
twist ties,
plant wire for mine.
Right.
So
nice. Yeah, staking is definitely an easy choice. Got to be careful with those though, because they will get nasty over time.
Yeah,
they'll mold from the inside and all sorts of stuff like that. But
yes,
it's a good choice.
Now you was talking about the plant needing the energy. For autos, this is something that I've noticed over time, and I've done some studying. Most of your stems and branches are green, correct?
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at them. Now, if you start seeing purple lines or purple streaks, that means your plant is under stress.
Hmm.
For some reason, either it's newts, you need to support it or something like that. If you start seeing the purple lines and streaks in your stems and branches, that's usually a good sign that something is up and your plant is starting to work too hard.
That's interesting. So that's something you've observed repeatedly in your autos?
Yes.
Nice.
So I started looking it up because people were talking about my stems purple, this, that, and the other. So I was like, well, mine's got some purple in it too. So I started investigating. But there are some strains that do have purple stems. So you'd kind of, there again, you go back to knowing your genetics.
Yes, I was just going to say some strains do have that proclivity on their own, but I'm definitely going to bring up that that theory and run it on the show. I like that. What else did I want to cover here? I was going to give some bloom enhancer products, you know, again, for autos. I think you got to be careful when feeding. Again, I'm saying this having never grown them. I just heard people say, you know, you don't want to burn them, apparently.
Exactly.
So I guess you go light on them. Now, Dusty, you said you don't play with any sort of bloom enhancers, like, you know, Bloombastic or like a Cool Bloom or anything like that. You don't do any of that?
No, the farthest I go is I got molasses. I've got some Mammoth Pea.
Ah.
And some Photosynthesis Plus.
Oh, dude, you got a great lineup, man. What are you talking about? You're on point.
Yeah, that's the only things I add to my tea. And if you stop and think about it, I'm still just adding organics.
Man, yeah. Okay. So you're doing that was going to be my last suggestion after these bloom enhancers was, you know, throwing the microbes in there if you have any sort of living biology in your medium. It doesn't work the same if you're growing in cocoa with synthetic nutrients. But if you do have soil and you have microbial life in that soil, adding to that microbial life, that Mammoth Pea Boost, definitely desirable, man. So I like that. And Photosynthesis Plus, also similar. But yeah, you got a good lineup, man. What are you talking about? You're like, oh, I use tea. Okay, so you got the Mammoth going, you got the Photosynthesis Plus. You're banging out that microbiology. And for maybe the brand new listener, adding things like a, you know, like an advanced nutrients or something like that to a soil like Dusty's, that living soil, is actually really detrimental and counteractive to that biological life in the soil. And there is a happy medium. You can look up Synganic growers who really do use both and maintain the thriving microbial life while adding the occasional synthetic boost. Really cool. In fact, at Poetry of Plants on Instagram is a Synganic grower that comes to mind who kills it. But yeah, I digress very, very far. Let me say my bloom enhancers. If you were ever to try a synthetic bloom enhancer, Dusty, I would recommend the aforementioned Heavy 16's Heavy Fire is a great one. And I'll say Rock Resonator had really great results. And then I think I also said just a second ago, Bloombastic by Atami, which has the colloidal clay in it, which widens the uptake range, the pH uptake range of phosphorus. And I believe just increases the plant's ability to uptake phosphorus in general, resulting in bigger yields. So yeah, Bloombastic, really cool product that I like. And it looks natural. I don't know how natural Bloombastic is. I'll ask Wolfman, but it's like a soupy green kind of thing. So yeah, that's how I would increase yield. I feel like that's a pretty good overview. Is there anything you wanted to add at the end of yield there, Dusty? Like anything that you really focus on your autos when it comes to yield?
Back to feeding the autos, if you're using soil like me and you are, the organics, we're not actually feeding our plant. We feed our soil, and our plant feeds from the soil.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, like the living soil, like you said, adding the bacteria and stuff like that, you're feeding your soil so the soil can feed the plant.
It's a really, I want to say, superior way of growing. There's just a lot of benefits to it. Let's put it that way. Not everyone can do it in every situation or whatever, but there's just so many upsides to this organic microbial-based farming, specifically with the super soil, where you're not mixing nutrients when you feed. Really, really good. And I'll give one more tip right here. This is an interesting one. I just spoke with Dr. Coco, and he was backing this up as well. When you are running an organic grow, or any grow that has microbial life in the soil, if you're using water from the tap from a city municipality, they probably treat that water with either chlorine or chloramine. Those are not good things for your microbial life. So what you can do, you can actually call your municipality to find out what they use or check their website. If it's chlorine, you can actually just let your water sit and gas off. I think it's pretty quick too. Google to make sure the number's right. I think it's like 30 minutes or something. Pretty quick. My municipality had chloramine, in which case it's not going to gas off. It's going to take way longer, I believe. But Dr. Coco just told me you can add humic acid to your, I think it's a tiny little bit of humic acid to your water before you feed, and it will it'll chelate and bind that chloramine, and then it'll be safe and it won't be detrimental to your microbial life in your soil. How cool is that?
I just heard that exact same thing about a week ago.
It's blowing up, man. I think it's making the rounds because people have heard about the chlorine and chloramine thing and gassing off, but I had never heard until I did the Growing With My Fellow Growers show that humic acid counteracts it.
If you stop and actually do some investigating, you can find a natural way to do all of it.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not knocking the synthetic guys. You know, they're doing what they're doing and they're doing it good. But most of them, from what I'm seeing, a synthetic yield is usually more than an organic yield. Okay.
I've heard pushback on that, but yes, that is the common consensus, I'll say.
Yeah, yes. And like I said, that's just from what I've seen, and I don't know because I've never done anything synthetic. I'm figuring it's because you're putting all these synthetics in and you're just pushing it all out the top instead of actually getting what you should be getting from your soil. Because I can sit here and I can take one that's grown in synthetic and one that's grown in organic, and I can take one drag off of each and I can tell you which is which just from taste.
Right. That is the number one thing that even synthetic growers on my show will go. The super soil growers really do seem to get a more expressive flavor and aroma profile. That seems to be something that we can all agree on. And you're right. The one thing that everyone knocks organic growing on is loss of yield. And I've heard pushback from the organic guys themselves, but that is kind of what's knocking them. But I'm with you, Dusty, which is I'm not here to like disparage anyone or exclude anyone. I hope they go on their grow journey. I hope they do their thing. I hope they have fun with this plant and love it. I also hope that one day they try organic growing and I hope they stick with it because I've heard that story a lot and I've never heard of anyone going back. So sure, I hope that they come onto my path, but if they don't, so be it. I hope that they just have fun growing this plant and do it as responsibly and cleanly as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, see, we look at it as the medicinal benefits. It's a natural plant, okay? And we're trying to get off of man-made pharmaceuticals that are killing us. So why add man-made pharmaceuticals into something we're trying to get away from?
I think the reason is this is how it's been done. Yeah. But once people hear there's another way, if they're open-minded, they usually take it, I find, right?
Yes. Some of you photo growers are hard-headed, though. You've actually got to be, it's got to be put in front of you.
You're 100% right, man. I think that people are hard-headed. I think that growers are especially hard-headed at times. But those who are open-minded, I did use that caveat. I slipped that in there for a reason, Dusty, and you picked up on why. For those that are open-minded, I find that when they do hear about the super soil growing, they say, sign me up or at least give it a shot. And they rarely go back.
Yeah, because they might not get quite as much, but it's just so much better flavor. And to me, it's better quality. I get better effect from an organic plant than I do from a synthetic.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it's a psychological thing.
It's not, Dusty. I just spoke with Stephen Reisner and he can actually tell you the science behind that. The reason is, because those different expressions, the strange expressions, not a high THC count. I'm talking about a more diverse terpene profile. I'm talking about alternate cannabinoids coming into play, like an excess THCV or an increased amount of CBG, whatever it is. Stephen Reisner said those extra expressions come from additional biological stimuli. So when you're growing with a synthetic nutrient, you're really just kind of like what you were saying in layman's terms, to be honest, just pushing it out. You're increasing the THC production and you're increasing the yield. When you're doing, for instance, what Stephen Reisner is doing, which is an aquaponics grow, which is effing insane. He has a dual root zone where he's giving it microbes from the soil, but the roots are hanging down in a fish solution. So he's getting all these different inputs. Point is, you get all of those bonus expressions like extra flavor, extra terpenes, extra cannabinoid diversity by increasing the amount of biological stimuli. So the more types of microbes you have from different, a variety of organic sources, that's what gets you those expressions. And that's why organic growers are always stoked, like this show's popular Rhizo Rich. He's like, man, my purples just started coming out way more. I was growing the same strains synthetic. And when I switched to organic, the genetic expressions were coming out more. Well, the reason that is because I missed a key word. Stephen Reisner said the plant's immune systems were being triggered by these different biological stimuli. So you're like strengthening the plant and making it have all these interesting expressions and desirable expressions by increasing the variety of stimuli to its immune system. Pretty cool, right?
Yes, you're feeding the soil so the plant can take everything it needs and wants from the soil. So you're getting everything that the plant has to offer that way.
I like that way of looking at it too. You're trying to take what the plant has to offer. So I'm with you on that. And like you said, not everyone is going to agree 100%, but that's cool. We're all cannabis brothers. So yeah, man, that was good stuff.
And we both digressed. Increasing yield.
No. I think we're good, man. That was a good overview. I got to tell you, Dusty, this has been a pleasure. And I also want to say, before we sign off, I want to compliment you on your group, man. I've been looking at a lot of different forums and Reddit groups and Facebook groups, and there's a lot of toxic people out there, dude. Like, there's some really mean people out there. The Autoflowers Growers Club, I believe, is one of the more like positivity-oriented places. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, there's five of us that admin there, and we strive for a more of an open family-type atmosphere.
That's great. That shows.
To where there's no stupid question, okay? And if you want to give a stupid answer, you can give it somewhere else. you know.
I like no stupid question, because that's what I see, is some people go on and judge people about their about what they're asking. And I don't see that at the Auto Flower Growers Club.
Yeah, I mean, we all had to start somewhere. I mean, I won 3 free seeds. I was going to put it in my wife's potting soil for her aloe vera before I got on Facebook and asked the stupid question, what should I plant it in? You know?
That's really cool, though, man. That was just 2 years ago?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool.
I had been in this group for probably close to, I know it was well over a year. And never commented, never participated or anything, because I never really figured I would grow.
Right.
Honestly. And I seen this contest, and I just happened to have been partaking some of my recreational, and I entered. And next thing I know, I won. And I was like, huh, what am I going to do with these? Well, see, I'm really lucky. I got this fantastic wife that spoils me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She says, like, well, let's see if we can grow them. So she helped me buy lights and soil and all of that. And now I can't keep her from buying seeds.
That's wonderful, man. I'm jealous. I got to say, that is wonderful. Well, you've definitely come a long way, because now you're on GrowCast. So we're rapping about your Facebook group. And it's been a lot of fun, man. So I got to thank you for taking the time away from your little budget grow to come and chat with me.
I really enjoyed it. I was a little nervous about it because I am so new, but I appreciate you making me comfortable.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I do. But, and again, this is what we do at GrowCast. Like, I will talk to CEOs and I'll talk to cannabis scientists, and then I'll talk to a budget grower from Ohio or wherever. So I'm down for it, man. Anytime, as long as people are coming with the positive attitude and the open mind, which you are, that's what I'm all about, man. So thank you and best of luck to you on this run and beyond, Dusty.
And one thing for yield, focus on air circulation. Fans are a must, people. Fans are a must.
Dusty, fans are a must, Elliot. We could go longer, man. We'll have to do a part 2 sometime. We'll go ahead and do that. So stay tuned, everybody, for that. Autoflower Growers Club on Facebook. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at GrowCast. You know where to find us, guys, all over the place. All right, we're signing off here. Dusty Elliott and Jordan River saying be safe out there, people, and grow smarter.
Be safe and enjoy your grows, people.